Good morning. As we prepare to worship our Lord this morning, let us sing together our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this nice warm Sunday morning. Remember, spring is just around the corner. We want to extend a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a meaningful worship experience with us and that you will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number, that way we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So if you would now pass those attendance pads down the pew, and visitors and members alike, please register your attendance. Reminder for United Methodist Women, there will be the United Methodist Women General Meeting, which will be held tomorrow at 12 noon in the Fellowship Hall. Guest speaker will be Tammy Price, who will be talking about her project, A Place for Us. Also, United Methodist Men will be meeting Tuesday evening at 5:30 p.m. The program will be presented by Wilson Bruce, and Wilson will be talking about the future of the United Methodist Men in the Greenwood District. Please make reservations for the Methodist Men's meeting by filling out one of the cards in the pew rack or by calling the church office. Also, this Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday. We will begin the community Lenten pilgrimage, and that will begin here at Main Street United Methodist Church. We will be serving lunch at 12 o'clock noon. The service will begin at 12:35, and then we'll serve lunch again at 1 o'clock. So that is this Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten pilgrimage. Also, this Wednesday evening, we will be having an Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary that will be preceded by our gathering meal at 5:15, and then at 6:15, the program will be the Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary. And Richard Pinckney wanted me to let you know that the March-April upper rooms are now available. They're in the narthex and then just outside the door here to my left, so you can pick those up. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before God is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around. God calls to the heavens above and to all the earth, that God may judge the people. Let us worship the God of righteousness. Be seated. Join me in praying the invocation together. On this day of worship and praise, O Lord, we come before you celebrating your love and grace. We are thankful that in the midst of a world filled with bitterness and alienation, you are about the work of transforming a people and creating a community characterized by joy and unity. Help us day by day be transformed more and more into likeness of your Son and our Redeemer. As his disciples looked on him that first day of transfiguration long ago, so let us gaze on him this day and recognize that he is worthy of our praise and our obedience. May this be a day of transformation in our lives, in our families, and in our church, for we ask it in the name of the one who gave himself for us. Amen.
As we come to our prayer time together, I'd like to lift up a few concerns that are in the bulletin and a few that are not. We continue to pray for Reverend Lewis Sherrod as he recovers. Shorty Callison, he is home but with ongoing health concerns. Benny Moore recovering. Louise Watley in the hospital recovering. Mary Metger is facing some heart surgery at Roper Hospital in Charleston tomorrow. G. Poe, home recovering. Karen Dent, continuing with her treatments. Joyce Bartless, we heard a good report about her this past week. Tina Haskin-Bell is awaiting results and tests, and we need to be in prayer for her that the outcome is good. And also for Don Marino, who is engaged to Rebecca Bartless and here today, whose mother recently died. We pray to comfort him and his family in their loss. An announcement that I want to make that's not exactly a prayer concern, but it is it's a big deal to the young man it happened to. Harold Johnson's son, Taylor, won the fastest car award in the Pinewood Derby in the Scouts. And that's a big deal to him. So we were... Now those Pinewood Derby cars don't have brakes. They last saw the car going south of Lexington. It was the fastest one they had. But we have joys and we do have concerns that are serious, along with our private concerns and prayers, which we lift up to God on this day. Let us bow our heads together for a moment of prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to your house, we come to this family, this worshiping body, sometimes not expecting too much. We come sometimes out of habit, but in the back of our minds and deep in our hearts, we do hope that we will meet you, that we will feel you, that we will experience your Spirit, your touch, your comfort, your guidance, assurance of forgiveness, and all the things that we need, which only you can give. Father, we pray these things this day. We pray that you deepen our faith, remove our doubts, and give comfort to those who are grieving, and give strength and hope and the ability to enjoy life to those who are homebound and unable to be with us. And Father, where there are broken relationships here among church members, disappointments and bitterness and betrayals, and even in families, among family members, brother and sister and husband and wife, we pray and we claim your promise for the ability to forgive and to make peace. Lord, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called children of God. Lord, help us be your children. Help us build your kingdom in large ways and small, and the spheres of influence we have. And Lord, we do pray our prayers that seem sometimes so puny for this world and what we have made of it. We do pray for those who are caught in the terror of war or in famine or in ethnic cleansing, in poverty so deep that they dare not even hope. Lord, we pray for such as these, for situations we can barely imagine but we see reported daily in our news. We pray for your touch and for the work of your Spirit, and that you, influenced by your Spirit, the leaders of these nations of the world, that they might somehow be agents of your compassion and somehow let the light of your love, of your kingdom coming in, show and bring hope and bring change. Lord, we pray now for ourselves and for our families and for these concerns we have lifted up and noted in our bulletin, for those who grieve and for those who have difficult decisions to make and for those who've simply lost the zest for life and sit directionless and numb. Hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are bold to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I add one concern to our prayer and yours. Bayard Lindell, who will be having a heart catheterization procedure in the morning, please be in prayer for Bayard and his family in the morning. It is time now for the children's time. Susan Pinckney will meet them here. We ask the children to come forward.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm going to need for you all to come up close because I have something I want to share with you. And you're going to need to sit up real close so you can see. This is a picture of a very happy day in my life recently. This is a picture of the day that my little grandson, Luke, was baptized. And, you know, that was such a wonderful day for me and such a happy day that I found myself wanting that day to last forever. Have you ever had a day like that where you wanted it to just last forever because it was such a wonderful day? I'm sure that all of you have had those days. And, you know, Jesus' disciples had days like that as well with Jesus. Days that were so wonderful, they didn't want them to end. And one of those days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him up on the top of a high mountain to pray. And when they once they got there and Jesus started praying, something very strange happened. Jesus' face began to change in appearance. And his clothes became just as bright as lightning. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared there with Jesus. Well, Peter was so excited when he saw this. He told Jesus, "We should stay up on this mountain. We should not go back down. We need to stay here." And he said, "I want to build a tabernacle, Jesus, for you and Moses and Elijah." But you know what? One thing that Peter didn't understand, that was not a stopping place. That was a starting point. Not long after that experience on top of that mountain, Jesus died on a cross, he was buried, and he rose from the grave so that you and I could have eternal life in heaven. God sends us a lot of happy days into our life. The day that we meet Jesus is without a doubt the happiest day of our life. But it isn't a stopping place. It is a starting point for a journey that leads to eternal life in heaven with Him. Let's bow our heads to pray. Dear Father, we thank you for all of the happy days that you send our way. But most of all, we thank you for the happiest day, the day we meet Jesus and invite him into our heart. Amen.
Let us briefly pass the peace.
A reading from the Old Testament, Exodus 34. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in again to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a reading from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we're engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough means to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these returns, these tithes unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And before my sermon, before the prayer, I do want to let you know that we have heard the grumbling in the congregation, and we are going to meet and consider at the trustee meeting raising the temperature maybe one more degree. Is there an amen for that? Okay. Personally, I think that you would find yourself, you would be very comfortable in the sanctuary as it is this time of year if you wore a large black robe, as I do. You'd be very comfortable. I don't know if everybody has one of those. I know that you don't. But that is on the agenda. We have heard. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And I'm going to ask our sound man, Dr. Steve, to turn up the pulpit mic just a little bit. In case my voice gets weak, I want the mic to be strong. There we go. Not long ago, radio station, a talk radio station, maybe not quite that much. There we go. A talk radio station in San Francisco, KGO, they conducted a call-in poll. And just using fast talking and, you know, dialing up as many people as they could and letting as many callers on the line, you know, speak their piece as fast as they could. They kind of manipulated the situation and they got people to vote, hundreds of people to vote on a poll. Steve, you better cut that down just a little bit. I'll just talk louder. They got hundreds of people to talk on this poll and to call in the radio station and vote. And the funny thing was, 35% of them said yes, and 33% of them said no, and 32% of them were absolutely undecided. Now, that's a kind of a third, third, and third kind of thing. One listener was absolutely aghast that a third of the people who called in were undecided. He said, that sort of apathy is what is ruining America. The problem with this whole endeavor was that at the beginning of the poll, the radio station, as a joke, had never, ever stated a question. There was no question. But a third were adamantly for it, a third were against it, and a third were undecided. Even without knowing the question, they had strong opinions. There are four or five, I lose track, 24-hour news shows on cable and satellite, and we all listen to one or the other, and we all feel obligated to have an opinion. We get worn out just having opinions. And most people, and you may find this insulting, but it's been my experience, that most people just echo the opinions of those they like. It saves time. But we can be passionate about our opinions, even the ones we adopt. Who do we listen to? It matters. Who do we listen to help us decide how we make our decisions in life? Every Orthodox Hebrew boy goes through a bar mitzvah, and when he does, he has to learn a little bit of Hebrew. Even if he's an American or a South Carolinian, he has to learn a little bit of Hebrew. And one thing that every good Jewish person knows is the Shema. It goes, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And it means, listen up. Listen up. Be quiet. The Lord is one, the Lord is God. There is one God, and it is the Lord of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. Listen up, there is one Lord. And as Christians in the new covenant, building upon that old covenant, we say, and that Lord, listen up, has made himself known in Jesus Christ. It matters who we listen to. and how we decide. You know, choosing a denomination is a decision, but mostly I'm afraid we choose denominations on externals and on superficial things. Mostly, I'm afraid. The heart of faith, the reality of sin, trusting God as Savior, trusting Jesus as the Lord of our lives, and seeking to grow spiritually and change. These are real things, real questions, and mostly, these real things are mostly off limits, even in Sunday school, even in church. And that's why I need to get away sometimes. That's why I need to get away. And when I do, even if it's just for one day, I go to the mountains. Last year, I took 2 days off right before the Maundy-Thursday service, and I came back refreshed and renewed. It was great. There's something about walking up the steep hiking trails in the mountains and the trees and the raw rocks that makes me feel closer to God and closer to the peace that I wish I had every day. A walk in the mountains is, for me, a prayer of sorts. And if you add to that walk in the mountains true prayer, you begin to see the world and yourself and everything differently. It was on a high mountain, the story we have heard, it was on a high mountain that Peter and John and James saw Jesus differently. They saw him as he actually was. All their opinions and all their listening to the crowd about how the Messiah would be fell away when they saw him. With his face dazzling white, when they saw him standing near but dominating over the top of the representative of the law, Moses, and standing above the representative of all the prophets, Elijah, they saw him glowing as bright as the sun. Those who look at Jesus through prayerful eyes and see him as the light of the world, and see him in relationship that all that has come in the past through all the law and all the prophets and all that will be in the final consummation of God's kingdom. As he said of himself, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When we understand Jesus in that way, it is life-changing. It will sustain you in the things you must face. But there is more. When you heard what Paul was saying in our second lesson from 2 Corinthians, you need to know that he was writing to a church that had just experienced a very nasty conflict. And he says this, "And all of us with unveiled faces see the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror. All of us are being transformed. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. We are being changed. All of us are becoming more than we can imagine. If we look at each other, if we look at ourselves through prayerful eyes of love, we will see something that can bring us to our knees in awe. There is so much more to see than our physical appearances. On the inside, where normal light and normal eyes cannot see, God is changing us. As Paul says, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, and this is by the power and through the Lord, the Spirit. We are being changed. This scripture I have so often preached as a wonderful story, as a miracle on a mountaintop. When we preach it that way and we experience it passively, it doesn't get to the heart of the matter. Paul takes that imagery down and says, we too, you and I, we are being changed from one degree to another into that same glory. I took a picture of one of our members, a longtime member, I will not say who, and she is a very beautiful lady on the inside and on the out, and I consider myself a bit of a photographer, and I thought it was a good picture, so I printed it out, and I handed it to her in the office one day, proudly, waiting for the thank you, and she said, who is that old woman? There is more to us than meets the eye. We are being changed on the inside. A softening, a warming, a forgiving and more Christ-like nature sooner or later, maturing through our faith. We are becoming what we are meant to be. It may be that when we are fully mature spiritually on the inside, it may be that our outsides will be, past our freshness date. It may be that we attain some chronological age before we fully mature. Blessed are those who get wisdom when they are young. Unfortunately, I have noted over the years that most wisdom comes from pain. So truly, blessed are those who get wisdom with the least amount of pain possible. Wisdom begins with the knowledge of who God is and who you are in relationship to God. We are a dependent sinner, but beloved by God. And then we know that all others are in the same position. We are not extraordinary. We are not extraordinary in that we are sinners, all are. And we are not extraordinary in that we are beloved of God, all are. You are no better than the worst you might be tempted to judge. Compassion comes from God and from knowing who you are on the inside. On that mountain, Jesus was revealed as pure light in whom there was no darkness at all. Pure love and pure wisdom of God, outshining Moses the lawgiver, outshining Elijah the great prophet. Imagine what they saw. We rarely see ourselves. We rarely take a serious look at our own selves. Too many other people's faults catch our eyes for us to look at ours. But looking at Jesus' essence, they saw purity and light and brightness outshining everything which came before. And this is our destiny, to reflect that great light, to remove the muddled darkness and confusion and depression and misguided guilt and pain, to remove all that distorted, unreflecting surface and shine. Paul says, "And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. You were made for more than guilt and pain and confusion and fear. You were made to reflect God's light and purity and, dare I say it, a word we don't use often, holiness. Holiness in your lives. Are we? Are we holy? Well, okay, let me give you the loophole. The loophole in Paul's letter says from one degree of glory to another. That means some of us are beginning the path and we're looking up the mountain. Some of us are midway up the mountain stuck and may be tempted to look back down. Some of us are sitting down satisfied with ourselves and growing no more. And others, slowly, prayerfully, taking the path of most resistance, the narrow way, the upward way, are moving toward Jesus Christ. Jesus above the law. Jesus above the prophets. Jesus above your career, above your money, above your fame, above hatred, above pettiness, above grudges. Jesus above all. The goal of our lives is this upward, narrow way of moving, ever moving toward Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our God, as our destination. The secret is that we often act as if we have been to the top of the mountain. We act as if we've been to the top of the mountain and we have not. We have not. We act as if we are on a journey, but in fact we've been parked in the picnic area for years. Caroline and I like to do short day hikes when we go out of town. We like to do little, 5 or 6 hour hikes. Usually they're 2 or 3 hour hikes and we get lost and they turn into 5 or 6 hour hikes. Thank goodness for the little satellite things, that guide you back. Well, when we drive around in the mountains in our car, when we see one of those Appalachian Trail signs, we always stop and have our camera with us so we take pictures of us next to the Appalachian Trail sign. We have hiked short sections of the Appalachian Trail, but this thing is hundreds of miles long.
But we never miss the opportunity to have our picture made in front of the Appalachian Trail marker, because somebody, sometime years from now, might see that picture and they might mistake it for proof that we've hiked further on that trail than we actually have, and we might just let them believe that. After all, pictures don't lie. You know, we all come to church. Most of us have our pictures in the church directory. And that makes us full-fledged, mature representatives of the holiness of Jesus Christ. Doesn't it? We're in the directory. You see, we do allow people to believe that we have more of the Spirit of Christ in us than we do. And we do behave that way here in this building. I don't know how much of Christ reflects in your life when you are away from here. I don't know how determined you are to make moving up and growing closer to Jesus Christ a real goal in your life. I don't know. I hope that you do. I hope those close to you can see it sooner or later, maybe not all at once, but see that we are being transformed into the same image, that glow that has come forth from Christ, that same image from one degree of glory to another. And this is not our doing. It comes from the Lord and from the Spirit. This journey, this upward journey we are taking together, is not just for looks. It is for keeps. This journey of faith is to change us, to forever change us, and to prepare us to live godly, compassionate lives here and to live forever with God in heaven. Peter misunderstood. I'm afraid many modern churchgoers misunderstand. Peter wanted to build some booths, and he wanted to just sit and watch Jesus the great and powerful. He wanted to build some shacks and maybe invite others to come and see and passively watch and passively see the great Jesus for a limited time only. Not one, not two, but three great prophets come and see. Come and sit and passively watch them contained in their booths. What a show. I do hope that you know that worship is not a show. The music may be excellent, but it is not for entertainment. And my words may sometimes wax eloquent, and I may occasionally turn a clever phrase, but a sermon is not a show. Not a show to passively enjoy, or, when it's bad, to dreadfully endure. Either way, it is not a show. We are here to be filled, to be in the presence of the living God and strengthened by God's Spirit for the journey, given courage and enlightenment. Enlightenment in more ways than one. For all that we must face, for all that we must endure, for all that we must forgive out there. The journey of faith is hard. It is a climb. It is not a travelogue of how other greats have climbed the trail. It is real power for us. As we climb, as we catch our breaths, and as we leave the rest stops and set our faces toward Jesus, our hope, our help, our destination, our God. The secret is out. We do not follow a teacher, Jesus. We do not follow a political organizer, Jesus. We have faith in a God who came to us as the man, Jesus. Peter, James, and John on the mountain saw Jesus become transparent and glow with the glory of God shining through him. But still, they didn't completely understand until later. It took Jesus' death and resurrection to finally change them. Only when they realized that the risen, glorified Jesus trusted them to carry the message, trusted them to reveal all the secrets free of charge, unlimited access to everyone, only then, and with God's Spirit within them, did they begin to glow. The same is true for you and for me. We hear people telling us that being Christian is all about what you do. But that's not quite right. And we hear people tell us that being a Christian is all about what you believe. But that's not quite right either. Being a Christian is first of all about who you trust. It is about who you trust. We trust God in Christ. God knows we are sinners. And we know that God revealed in Jesus Christ that He loves us just the same and has gone to great lengths to to forgive us, we can trust Him. And not only to forgive us, but to empower us with His Spirit to begin to glow and grow ourselves with the same love and compassion that Christ has given us. We can be able to give others. When we trust God in Christ and see only Jesus as the highest goal of our lives, we too begin to glow. As you go through your week, the rest of this week, look carefully at the people you encounter. Try to see them with God's eyes. And if you see no sign of God's Spirit in them, stop and remind yourself why we are being transformed. Why God has given us this power. We are being transformed so that we can reflect Christ to others. We are the only Jesus some people will see this week. So let His light shine through you. We all listen to someone. We all echo someone. The Scripture says, listen to Him. Echo His light. Echo His love. We may be the only Jesus some people see. Amen. Please stand.
As a benediction and blessing this morning, I'd like to share just a few lines from the article 401 in your hymnal. Receive this blessing. In my heart, above all else,
Let love and integrity envelop me until my love is perfected and the last vestige of my desiring is no longer in conflict with thy spirit. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Grant us this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.